Okay, yesterday we left off with the explanation of our Mishnah with regards to whether we're choshesh l'nefila, we're not choshesh l'nefila, only nefila d'yachid, nefila d'rabim. What exactly are the ability of people with the same name to interact between themselves, between others, to be creditors, to be debtors? The Gemara is going to bring two brayot today that disagree with our Mishnah, and then the Gemara is going to try to figure out what's the machlokah between these brayot and our Mishnah. So that's the top of Kufayin Gimel and Aleph. V'lahad Tanya, the price that says, K'shem she'im mutzim shtar chov zeh zeh, kach e'im mutzim alecherim, b'may k'mif legeh. So the price says, just like they're not allowed to take a shtar chov zeh zeh, meaning one to the other, kach e'im mutzim alecherim, they're also not allowed to be creditors to others. As opposed to our Mishnah only limits them from being the debtor or from taking out contracts against each other. This Braisa also limits them from being the creditors. So what are they arguing about? So it says, "Ba'otiot miknot b'misira k'miflegei." They're arguing about whether you can sell, transact, or move a contract. Tana didon our tano, the tana of our Mishnah sover otiot miknot b'misira, that they can be transferred. Such ownership can be transferred. B'tana baro and the brisa savar ein otiot niknot misira, that you can't transfer that type of ownership. So therefore, if we come along and we say, all right, this individual is a creditor, Yosef ben Shimon is a creditor, and the fila, we don't worry about him dropping it and the same Yosef ben Shimon picking it up. Right, so now, how do you know? How did he come into his possession? Is there a possibility that the Azul of Yosef and Shimon got into his possession or didn't get into his possession? The answer is yes. He could get it into his possession. And how did he get it there? He sold it to him or gave him as a gift. So that's the author of our Mishnah believes that it's okay for them to be creditors, because even if one Yosef ben Shimon shows up with it, we're not going to worry that it was written by the other Yosef ben Shimon or that he was the creditor, because there is a way for them to transfer ownership. So there's a legal way for them to both be the creditor or to change the document or move it over. That we don't have a problem with. The problem is for the Braisa. The Braisa thinks you cannot sell the document. Then the debtor can always say, listen, that's not your contract. That belongs to the other Yosef ben Shimon. You're going to make a claim against me. It belongs to the other Yosef ben Shimon. Belongs to the other Yosef Shimon. He left it with you as a pikadon, right? You picked it up because it fell down. Whatever it is that he thinks, but there's a way to get it into your hands. There's no way to get it into your hands with it being a legal way to move the document. So because of that, we're choshesh that the creditor is holding a document that's not his. Now, b'manavshach, the debtor owes money, right? He owes the money to one Yosef ben Shimon, b'manavshach. So they can write a harsha to each other. Right? They can write a power of attorney, one to the other, and then if both Yosef and Shimon's come together as a single unit to claim for the debtor will have to pay in that instance. So there is a way to, you know, to circumvent the problem, but according to our time, though, the problem doesn't exist because we don't worry about the document falling and then being picked up by the other Yosef and Shimon. Maybe it's a picadon, but it's equally, maybe it's he sold it to him. There's a way that he could possibly legally be holding this document, even though it wasn't written by him. Whereas according to the Braisa, there's only one way he got this document, and it couldn't be the legal way. I mean, it has to be a picadon, I don't know if it was stolen, whatever it is, but it wasn't through a transaction, because he doesn't allow transactions in contracts. So now the Gemara says, V'yibayitema, another way to explain the machlokes between the Braisa and our Mishnah, is the kuliyama otiot nuknot memisira. Everybody agrees that otiot nuknot memisira, that you can transfer ownership, right, in a contract. V'hocho, tzarech lavi raya kamiflegei. The question of whether you have to bring, once you have otiot niknot b'misira, do we say, and this is somewhat relevant to what we did yesterday, is when you're holding the contract, do we have any questions about whether you're the real owner of the contract? Do you have to bring proof that it's your contract, or that you bought the contract? Or by the mere fact that you're holding the contract, that's sufficient to indicate that you own it. So Tana Divan Savar in Tarich Lavi Raya, our Tana believes that you don't have to bring a Raya. If you're holding the document, sufficient. We don't ask any more questions. So therefore, you have a Yosef ben Shimon that's holding a document. He's the creditor, right? He's the one who is the malveh in the document. We don't ask, is this your document? How did you get a hold of this document? We just say, fine, he's holding the document, has his name in it, nothing to talk about. But Tana Baro, the Tana of the Braisa says, Savar, Atzarich, Navi, Raya. You have to bring a proof. Even if you're holding a document, you have to prove how that document came into your possession. whether you were really the creditor, that's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that you bought it, but you got to show us. If you claim that you bought the contract, you got to show us how you bought it, or there's evidence of the fact that you bought it. So now, the halacha here, we just have to remember the Rashbam paskened earlier, that we paskin otiot niknot misira. That's what we hold. I mean, that's the Gemara's conclusion. The Ibai came as kuliyama otiot niknot misira. That's number one. Number two is, we paskin like Rabbi, according to the Rashbam, and therefore you do not need to have an additional shtar that says that you bought this shtar. There was a machlokas about when you had otiot niknot misira, did you have an additional shtar that told you that lechzeknei, or take possession of this shtar? That we don't require either. So otiot niknot misira. Right, but what we're talking about here with the raya means that you need some evidence that there was a misirat hashtar. You have to have evidence. Edim say that there was a shtar that moved from your possession to the other person's possession. Because if we believe that otiot niknot misira, you don't need another shtar, right, to make the kinyan effective, because they're milei ninhu, and why would more milim make it any better, right? So if it works, it works. So we say that's fine. So then what does it mean? Tzarich lavi raya. So the Rashbam explains, what it means to bring raya means that you have to bring edim, that there was misirat hashtar. You need some form of kinyan that took place to move the shtar one to the other, right? Bifneim, that's what you need. You need the raya that this was actually an exchange, or the otiot were actually niknot, right? That you had some sort of an otiot niknot bin misirat. Where's the misirat? So you need evidence to that misirat. Right now, we have a machlokas over here between Abaye and Rava. Ditmar, otiot niknot b'misira. Abaye amar tzarich l'avi raya. Rava amar in tzarich l'avi raya. So this is another raya that the Rashbam brought earlier on, a couple of daf ago, that we paskin otiot niknot b'misira. Why? Because you see from Abaye and Rava, they both hold otiot niknot b'misira. They're just arguing about whether you have to bring a raya or don't have to bring a raya. But they both agree, at least, that you could have otiot niknot b'misira. Now the Rashbam here reads that their machlokas is the same as the machlokas between the Braisa and our Mishnah. We just said the machlokas between our Braisa and the Mishnah is whether when you have otiot niknot misira, you have to bring a raya. And that's what Abaye and Rav are arguing about. So their machlokas is a machlokas tanayim. That's the way the Rashbam reads it. Tosfos, look at the top Tosfos on the left side, says that's not necessarily true. He says that the machlokas between our Mishnah and the Braisa, let up a punkta de Abaye Rav. The two are not relevant one to the other. Because Abaye, who says that you have to bring a raya, doesn't worry about the fact that it was fallen down. Right, so here, whenever there's a pikadon with the same name, we don't worry about it. So the fact is that Abaye, who says you have to bring a raya over here, has nothing to do with why the Braisa thinks you have to bring a raya. The Braisa thinks you have to raya, possibly, right, because you worry about nefilah, because you worry about pikadon. We worry about the fact that you came into possession of this contract, right, in an ill-gotten way, that it wasn't really your contract. So that's why the Braisa says, give me a raya. Abaye says, I don't worry about that. Abaye just thinks that otiot niknot b'misira, by definition, require a raya. Says that Tosfos says that he doesn't think the two machlokot are necessarily parallel, but they obviously use the same terminology, but they're for different reasons. So now, Amar Abaye, mena aminolo, how can I prove to you that you need to bring a raya? The Tanya. You have one of the brothers. Here they have brothers inherited from their father, the estate. And one of the brothers has a shtar chov, either that's written in his father's name or it's written in his name somehow, in the estate's name. But he says, listen, either he says that his father granted him directly, or he says, you, the brothers, gave it to me. So somehow he makes a claim on the shtar that is unique to him and doesn't belong to the whole estate or to the other brothers. So shtar chov yotzimitaka yado alav laviraya. He has to bring a proof that it's his and nobody else's. He has to bring a proof that nobody else has rights to this contract, and only he has rights to this contract. My love. So what would be my huadin lachrine? That's the same for others. I mean, what we're demanding of this brother to show, how did he come into possession of this contract? Because he's in possession of the contract, that should be enough. If you think otiot niknot b'misira and you don't need a raya, that should be sufficient. Why does he have to bring a raya? That's a bias point. He has to bring a raya because that's not enough. I have to have a raya. You have to have a proof how you got the document, how you got the misira over here. So now he says, oh, that's the Bryce is talking about a brother, a case of a brother, but it's true by anybody. So Rabba Amar, Shani Achin. Achin, brothers are different. The Shamtu Me'adadi. because they slip things away from each other. I mean, that everything's available to them. They can steal from each other. They can, the estate's all here. You're not dealing with third parties where, if you're in possession of the contract, it makes sense that you actually have it. You're mukzak in it. Whereas according to, but the brothers, they're all in the same place. They live in the same area. They're all dealing with the estate together. The fact that one brother has it doesn't really indicate that he really owned it, because they're all equally accessible, and it's not clear how he came into possession of this, or whether he did it in a manner that wasn't correct. So therefore we demand a raya. So Rava says it's unique to brothers that we demand a raya, but in general we're not going to demand a raya. So Igadamre, there I said that the other way around. I'm a Rava, how can I prove to you that you don't have to bring a raya? The Tanya, I mean, Achim Shashtar Chov Yotzei Mitachad Yado, Alav Lari Varia. Achinhu, Desham Tuma Adade. The only chin that have to do it, Aval Achrin Edo, but others don't. So the answer that he gives to Abai here becomes the proof for Rava. And Abai answers up, no, Abai, Achin Zitzrichale. No, true, it's true for everybody. But why do you have to mention Achin in particular? Right, special for brothers. Why Salkadat Chamina? Kevin Deshamtu Me'adadi, Ema Mizdar Zahire. Because they know that if they steal from each other, they pilfer from each other. So because of that, they're extra careful. And they wouldn't let one of the brothers come. They know that he can just take a contract with that. So they're out on the look. They're on the lookout to see that he doesn't do it. So then we say, no, nevertheless, he still has to bring a raya. Even though he has that, everybody's watching him and he still got a hold of it, nevertheless he has to bring a raya to that effect. Right, that they do have to bring a raya anyway. Now we have a third brisa, which I mentioned to you before, and now we have the first brisa we buy at the top of the amud. This is the next brisa. We have a brisa here. This brisa says, not only can they be creditors to others, but they can also be creditors to each other. They can be, have a relationship, they have a contract one against the other. So by my kamiflege, what does this price argue on our Mishnah? So now you have three different Tanaim who have opinions. There's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that they cannot have contract one on the other. They can't be creditor or debtor to each other. They also cannot be debtors to others. That's our Mishnah. But they can be creditors to others. And now the Brisa that we did at the top of the Amud says that none of the above can't do anything. They can't take out contracts one or the other. They can't be creditors to others, and they can't be debtors to others. This Brisa is the most permissive, right? This Brisa says just like they can be creditors, so too they can be, right, have interactions between each other. They can interact with each other. So what are they arguing about? The Kotzvim Shkar Lulaveh, Afar Pi Shein Malveh, Imo Kamiflege. They're arguing about whether the sofer, whether the scribe can write down a contract on behalf of the Loveh, even though the Malveh is not there. Why? Tana Didon Savar, our Tano of our Mishnah says, Kotzvim Shkar Lulaveh, Afar Pi Shein Malveh, Imo. Right, that's what we've seen before, that you're allowed to write a contract on behalf of the Loveh, even though the Malveh is not there. Why? Because it's his detriment. It's the detriment to the Loveh. It's all to the benefit of the Malveh and not to the Loveh. So to write him a contract is not a problem. Zimin da azil gabi safra. So what is he going to do? He's going to come to the sofer, the sade, and you have the witnesses. Vamalo kitvu de shtara de beina and the mezaf mi Yosef ben Shimon chavrai. He says, go here, write me a document because I'm going to borrow from my friend Yosef ben Shimon. Uvatar de katve vechatimile. After they write it and they sign on it, nekitale, he just keeps it. Because you know what? His name is also Yosef ben Shimon. So he becomes the creditor instead of the debtor. So he comes, he presents himself to the Edim and to the Sofer as a debtor. And therefore he's entitled to write the contract without the presence of the Malveh. But then he can flip his position from debtor to creditor because he has the same name. That's why our Mishnah says no, there's no go. You can't have creditor-debtor relations between two people with the same name. Right, so now, on the other hand, the Tana Baro Sabar, right, the Brisa holds, Ein kotvim shtar loveh ad she'malveh imo. So if the Malveh is there, then they can object, meaning that he can say no, or he'll take the contract with him now. So the fact is that you can't go behind his back and write the contract. You still could have a chashash, anyway, that he, right, he paid the money back, and then he got the contract, and he says, return me the contract, he paid the money, and now he has the money, and then he says, now I'm the Malveh, instead of Loveh. There are the risks. But the Brisa seems to mitigate those risks, or say he should rip up the contract, whatever you have to do to ensure those cases that he doesn't get a hold of the contract. But the real worry about him authoring a contract and having it signed without the presence of the other individual, that doesn't exist, because you're not allowed to do that, according to the Brisa. Right now, the Mishnah continued, our Mishnah continued and says, Nimsa le'achad ben shtarotav, He finds amongst the shtarot, shtarot shel Yosef ben Shimon parua, shtarot shnehem pruin. So amongst his shtarot, he finds a shtar, or some sort of shobar, some sort of receipt that says that the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon is paid off. Now, he is a creditor to both Yosef ben Shimon's. So we see over here that they're both patur. Even though truthfully, miman of shach, one of them is, one is chayav to him, but it's a safek. And it's a safek, he's alav lahavi raya. He's got to bring a proof. In order to collect from either one of them, he's got to bring a proof. So even though we know miman of shach, one of them is chayav, nevertheless, we don't know which one to be mechayev.
If they would come together, like I said before.
But you can't come together, because these are the debtors. We can't force them together to come. How are we going to force them to pay? I mean, if you're the creditor, you can consolidate the creditor to make the claim. That makes sense. When you're debtors, you can't, we'll see in a second if Abaye does what you're suggesting, but on the creditor side, you can't do it. From the debtor side, you can't force them, oh, the two of you together owe me money, you two figure it out. You can't do that to them, right? He has to bring the raya, who is chayav. So now, the case here, and this is not an argument here, but is modified in other gemaras, that the case here is where it's found amongst his ripped up shtarot. A ripped up shtarot, and then there's something there that says that Yosef ben Shimon's shtar is paid. So we know that it means, not that he's holding a receipt to give to him, no, but this receipt really indicates that it was paid, and that's why it's amongst his ripped up shtarot. So now he says, Taima d'nimsa. The case here is here because he found it. Ha lo nimsa. Had he not found this document which said, you know, it was paid off, motzi mafik, then he'd be able to take it out and make a claim against them, which means here is a creditor that has, as he's basically a creditor to Yosef ben Shimon. He's actually a creditor to both of them. Our Mishnah said that nobody can be a creditor towards them, meaning that they can't be debtors. Yosef ben Shimon can't be debtors, because anytime you go to collect from them, one of them will knock you off. So people are not allowed to be creditors. Vanan, right? So then in our Mishnah we say v'lo acher yachol lohotzi aleihem shtar chov tnan. Our Mishnah says that you can't be a creditor against these individuals. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'mishulashim. So it's not a problem. This individual took care of it. He was a creditor. Why? Because they put three generations. He put Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov and Yosef ben Shimon ben David. So he knew the contracts indicated which Yosef ben Shimon. So we don't have any problem with that. All right. So if that's the case, just look at the shofar. Which three generations does it say in the shofar? No problem. Right. It's obvious that we could have solved that. So no. That's the answer. I mean that the contracts are written with three generations in them, so we're clear about who the debtor is in each contract. The shofar, the receipt, is written to Yosef ben Shimon stam, and now we don't know which one of the Yosef ben Shimons it belongs to. So that's the solution to this case in our Mishnah. It does that. So this case in the Mishnah is a case where he's allowed to be a creditor because he has three generations. There's uncertainty about the receipt because it only has two generations and there only has the same name, Yosef ben Shimon. So because of that, now the creditor or the sons of this creditor are unable to go and collect from Yosef ben Shimon because each one of them can say it's the other guy. They can do him to the other side. Now along comes Abaye. Abaye Amar Hachi Kamar. This is the solution, David, that you were suggesting before. Let's consolidate claims. It says Hachi Kamar Nimsad lo ve ben shtarotav shtaro shel Yosef ben Shimon alai parua. All right. So then shtarot shnehem pruyin. So this is a case. He flips the case over here. That the case is when it's found in the house of the Loveh. It's not found in the house of the Malveh, but rather found in the house of the Loveh. That Ben Shtarotav, he has a shovar, he has a receipt that says, Sheshtar, Shainu Yosebo, Shimon, Ben Yosef Ben Shimon, is Parua. That there was a shtar that Yosef Ben Shimon is Parua. And now there are two Yosef Ben Shimons that Noshimbo, that were creditors over here. So now, if you didn't have this shovar, right, then they would have to be, both of them would have to be Shnehem Nifreimi Menu. They could both come and make a collection of him. You have a creditors, right? Two creditors that are, one creditor is Yosef ben Shimon, second creditor is Yosef ben Shimon. You have a Loveh who borrowed from both of them. And in his house, he happens to find a document that says the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon is paid off. So now this debtor says, Yosef ben Shimon comes to him and says, listen, I want my money back. He says, well, I have a shofar. He says, you are what? Paid already. The other Yosef ben Shimon comes and says, I have a shofar that says, I paid you also. Now, in this case, Mimonav Shach, he owes one of them money. He only has one receipt. One receipt is only sufficient to knock off one creditor. Now, as each creditor comes to him, he can knock them off and say, I paid you back already. But if they both approach him together, then he couldn't knock them off. And that's the, so according to Abaye, and that's what the Rashbam says over here, Miu Niru Be'enai, he says in my eyes, I believe, this is what the Rashbam says, Shibshneim Ba'im Bar Sha'a. If they both come together with a consolidated claim, Zemizel Aloveh Yechol Gvot Echad Min Ashtarot Mimon Afshach. They can get one of the Ashtarot Mimon Afshach Min Aloveh. Why? Because, now what is he going to say? I paid off? Yes. So we're coming here with a consolidated claim of two, right, two loans. You have a shovar for one loan. So fine, don't pay one, but you gotta pay the other one. So that's a, he says that the, according to Abaye, you don't, you could have a harsha and you could solve the problem through a harsha. But nevertheless, until they do a harsha, until they come as a consolidated claim, the debtor has a way to be nidoche each one of the parties who come before him with such a, when he has a, such a shofar. Also, Abaye may not need, as it also suggests over here, that in Shnayin Ochsin, in Bava Metzia, when we say that it was found amongst the ripped up shtarot, he doesn't need that ukimta. Because by flipping the case and saying it's not found amongst the malvez shtarot, but rather amongst the lovez shtarot, he doesn't need them to be ripped up. Because the fact that he has a shofar receipt makes sense. As opposed to the malveh, if he has a receipt with him, it should have been with the loveh. So why, when it's with the malveh, do we say, oh, okay, then it's paid off? Say it's paid off because it's found amongst his ripped up shtarot, which indicates that was mean it was already paid. That's why he put the receipt over there. Whereas over here, the fact that the loveh is holding a receipt makes sense. So Abai will not need that ukimta in Shnayim Ochsin, but Metzia, he won't need that explanation of the Mishnah. Right now, Ketzad Yasu, in our Mishnah it gives advice, how do you deal with two Yosef and Shimons? So the Mishnah went through a list of items that you could do. He said, first of all, you could be Yishaleishu, right, is that the, go to a third generation. If they are the same name in the third generation, what do you do? Yichtuvo Simanim, try to describe them, right, their character traits, their characteristics. Right, and the last thing is, if they're already Musumanim, they look the same, figure out if they're a Kohen, if they're Yisrael, try to find some other notable distinction between them. Now, alright, well that's what the Gemara wants, it brings a brisa, what happens if all of those are the same? So that's what the Gemara wants to know, what do? If they're both the same, if they're both Kohanim, right at this level, so what do? Then, Yichtavu Dorot. What does that mean? You go to the fourth generation. Right, so, right, another generation down. Fourth generation, I mean, the possibilities are becoming more and more limited that they could have the same all the way back, right? And like Shaul says, certain points, you gotta think they are the same person, right? When you get so many similarities between them. So that's a brisa. Alright, new Mishnah. Omer Livno, Shtar Ben Shtarutai Parua. So now he says, he's passing away, he's on his deathbed, he says to his son, listen, one of my shtarot is paid off. So then he says, I don't know which one it is, but one of these 10 shtarot you have is paid off already. Then shtarot kulan pruim. You can't collect on any of them, because it's a motzi mechaver olav haraya. We know for certain one of them is paid off. So the one who wants to collect here, any debtor that he comes to, they can say to him, listen, mine's paid off already, because your father said it was paid off. So he has no claim until he can prove that it's not that debtor. Nimsa lechad sham shnayim. Now, the one case is what happens if there was a debtor that had two outstanding loans with him. If he has two outstanding loans for him, so then miman of shach, one of them is still outstanding, because only one of them can be paid off. So then, agadol parua, makatanein parua. The larger amount is considered to be classified as paid off. The smaller amount is not paid off. So he'll be obligated to pay one of the two contracts, because we know there's only one. So here, it's equivalent of a consolidated claim, right? Because comes to him and says, look, you have two outstanding claims. He says, well, your father said that one of them is parua. Go ahead. Pick which one you want is parua, but you still have to pay the other one. So of course, what's he gonna pick? He's gonna pick the larger one. So what he has to pay off still is the lower amount or the lower loan.
I understand the case here, but
he's saying, the obligation devolves upon the son now. He was pogame the shtar by saying that one of them was paid. You lost that raya. That raya is now ruined. He collected this contract. Alright, Amar Rava, Shtar Lecha B'yadi Parua. So he says, one of the shtar that's in your hands is Parua. Agadol Parua, V'katan Enyo Parua. So if he says, one of the shtarot that you have in my hands, he's a debtor with multiple outstanding loans to this individual, he says, one of your shtarot, a shtar that you have in my hand is Parua, then the Gadol Parua, Katan Enyo Parua, basically our Mishnah, says that if it's one, then you gotta pick which one, it's gonna be the bigger one, then the lower amount is still outstanding. Chov v'cha b'yadi Parua. Your debt to me is paid off, shtarot kulan pruim. Then they are all classified as being paid off. there's a difference between saying that there's a shtar. Each debt that he has outstanding was documented on a separate shtar. So when he says shtar parua, that one is paid, one of the shtarot is paid off, that means that out of the outstanding loans, one of those outstanding loans is paid off. On the other hand, when he says chov, chov is the obligation that you have to me. The obligation to me is the consolidated debt of all the different outstanding debts that you have to me are paid off. So when he says chov, that's an all-encompassing term that includes any outstanding debt. So he says any outstanding debt to me, if that's paid off, then he says it's a kol pruin. So Amar Le Ravina the Rava, Elamiata, if based on what you're suggesting, I can extend it. You say Sadai, right, Mechura or Sadi, Sadi Mechura Dacha, my field is sold to you. Sadeh Gdola Mechura lo, then the biggest field is sold to him. Sadeh Shiesh Li Mechura Dacha, the fields that I have, or the field that I have, Mechura Dacha, Kol Sadotav Mechurim lo. And all the fields are sold. And the Rashbam goes out of the way to show that the word sadeh can be used here in the plural form. And a sadeh doesn't just mean, like it says, stay adom, stay adom. Stay adom means not one field in adom, it means all the fields of adom. So the word sadeh can be used in a form or formulation that means all my fields. So here, Ravina says, I can extend Jerubba your logic. Your logic is when I give a particular, say, sadeh, my field, that's equivalent to shtar. So when I sell you the field, you just get the biggest field and that's it. But if I use the word sadeh, which can mean all my fields in general, like chov means in general, that means that I should be able to buy, when I come and buy, get all your fields. So he says, lo, hotam yad balashtar al tachtona. Meaning that in each case, you have to look at who the obligation is on, right, to bring the raya. So in a case where the debtor is here, right, the debtor says, shtar parua, so he says, okay, so there's only one shtar, you can't argue with me that the other one is paid off, because there's one shtar. When you say chov, chov can mean all the outstanding debts. Maybe it only means one debt, or it means all the outstanding debts. If that's the case, who has to bring the raya? Amotzi mechavero, the one holding the shtar, now gotta bring a proof that he didn't mean chov. That he didn't mean chov, so they get paid off. On the other case, by the sadeh, who's the extractor over here? The extractor is the lokeach. The buyer is the one trying to extract the field. So when he says sadeh, then we can take the biggest field, because it's one field, you get the biggest field. But on the other hand, when he says sadeh, there are two possibilities. Sadeh can mean one field, it can mean all the fields. Now you want to take all the fields away from the mocher, you better prove that he meant sadeh meant all of them. You got to bring the raya. So the two cases are not parallel, because the obligation of who has to bring the raya is different in each case. In the case of the buyer and seller, the buyer is the one obligated to bring the raya, not the seller. In the case of the debtor and the creditor, it's the creditor's obligation to bring the raya, because he's already there's a word that's pogim, his ability to collect with the shtarot that he has. So he has to then prove that he didn't mean, chov didn't mean all the shtarot. So the cases are different, because always, yad bala shtar ala tachtona in these cases. And now, amavet chavero nu mishnah, amavet chavero yedei arev. Someone lends money with using a guarantor. Lo yifram in arev, don't collect from the arev himself. The amar lo, meaning that you should go to the debtor first and then to the arev. If amar lo amanat sheyefrem mimi sheyerteh, says I'll collect from whomever I want. Yifram in arev, you can go to. It sounds like this. The gemara will change this, but it sounds like this. You can go to the arev. It's your choice. That's exactly what you said. My choice. I go to the lover or the arev. I go to whomever I want first. If the lover has possessions, don't go to the arev. You know, meaning that if the lover has the ability to pay you, don't go to the arev, even when you stipulate that I can go to whomever I want. So again, the Gemara will amend the Mishnah, so we'll see what all this means. Person who is a guarantor to a woman that her husband will pay her ktubah. But yeah, bala migersha, and then her husband's divorcing her. So now it comes to fruition. The husband has no money, he divorces his wife. So now the arev's on the hook for the ktubah. So you know what he has to do. Yidirenu hana. He says that he has the ability, this arev has the ability to say to the husband, I want you to take a neder al dat rabim. I want you to take a neder al dat rabim, not to get hana from this woman again. Why? What's he afraid of? Because he's very shema yasu knunya. The husband and wife will make a plan, right? They'll come up with there'll be co-conspirators here, al nechasim shel zeh, on the possessions of the arev, gzirat ishto. They have no money. So what does he think? All right, we've got a great idea. I'll divorce you. The arev will have to fork out the cash, and then we'll get remarried. Everything will be great. So that's what the arev wants to protect himself from, that type of conspiracy. So therefore, what does he do? He forces them to say that this divorce is permanent. You get divorced, you're not getting back together again, because you're not going to be playing with my money unless you really are getting divorced over here. So now, my taima. What is the reasoning that you don't take from the Arev? I mean, the Arev is a guarantor here. Why can't you go collect an Arev? Why do you have to go to Lover first? So Rabbi Rav Yosef Damrei Tavayu Gavra Ashlimatli Gavra Ashlimalecha. He says, this is, it's interesting logic. He says, listen, you asked me to provide you with a body, right? And I'm providing you with a body. So this is the explanation of Rabbi Yosef is going to be rejected by the Gemara is, basically, the Arev guarantees that the Lovel be around. The Maveh comes along, what's he afraid of? He's afraid that the Lovel won't be there to pay the money. So the Arev says, listen, you came to me and said, I want to make sure that the Lovel is going to be here. And he says, listen, here's your Lovel. He's right here. What are you coming to me for? The Lovel's there. Go take care of it with the Lovel. So he's basically saying that. So now the Gemara is going to ask, wait a minute, that type of logic is a little flawed. Matkadav Nachman, Haidina de Parsai. This is a Persian din. So it's funny that the Gemara is picking on Rav Nachman this word. Adarabba, but there are Arvazle. Says, no, that's not the din of the Parsaim. The Parsaim say you do go after the Arev. Parsaim say it doesn't matter. If you are a guarantor, then you're on the hook right away. Meaning that you can go after the Arev right away. Ella Beidina de Parsai, Deloyev Tamil Milsayu. No, it means that this is like the Persian courts that don't explain their psak, or don't explain the logic of their arguments. Says this is an inexplicable explanation for the reason that a rave is not on the hook. Why? Because what happens if the rave has no money? I mean, what happens if the loveh has no money? In that if you bring the loveh to the, you say, look, Malveh, you borrowed from the loveh, here he is. That's not what the Malveh wants.
That's not the purpose of the Arev.
Exactly. The Arev is there to ensure that if the Loveh has no money or he's not around, that he pays. Not to ensure that the Loveh is present. That's one part of the puzzle, that the Loveh is there. But if the Loveh is not there or he doesn't have money, you want to ensure that he gets a guarantee. So that's Elamar of Nachlan, my loy from in Arev, loy dva Arev tchila. That's what it means. It means don't come after the Arev in the first place. Don't come after him in the first place, meaning that you go to the Loveh, and once you've exhausted your ability to collect from the Loveh, then you go to the Arev. The Arev is only there if the Loveh dies, or he refuses to come to court, or the Beis Din's chayav him and he has nothing to pay. I mean, that's the cases that he's obligated to pay. He's not obligated to be the first, payer. He's saying, listen, I guaranteed it so that after you've exhausted, right, if the Loveh ran, left town, the Loveh refuses to show up in court, or the Loveh has no money, then I'm going to be the guarantor. But I'm not going to pay if it's just the fact that you're too lazy to go after the Loveh, or that the Loveh doesn't have money. Now, what the obligation here to go after the Loveh, how deep-seated is that obligation? So it sounds like from the Gemara that you have to exhaust the avenue of the Loveh before you go to the Arev.
The
What's Rav Nachman saying? Rav Nachman saying that the Arev is not Meshabed himself except for those cases. Exactly what Rav Nachman saying. Question is now, what does that mean? When do you have to, after you've got to the Loveh, when can you show up to the Malveh? Sounds from the Gemara that you have to exhaust all avenues with the Loveh. If you're unable to collect from them, then you go to the Malveh. The Rabbeinu Tam over here suggests, the top Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests, Perish Rabbeinu Tam, Mutav Yodo, Ksuri Mechzervach, Tani Amalveh, Chaver Yidei Arev, Loi from in Arev. Hachari Perisho, Halilchus, Loi Tvam in Arev, Tchila, Afopish in Nechasim Loveh. Even though there are no possessions to Loveh. The Hainu, Karkaot. Even though he doesn't have land, Ali Dvamin Olavet Chila, Bimhu Rachok Yamtilo. If he's far away, wait for him. Or Yelech Hashem Latovo Lekufo. You have to wait for him. Meaning that when we say that there's nothing to the Loveh over here, it means that even if the Loveh has nothing, you still can't go after their rave. What does it mean that he doesn't have anything? What are the nechasim? What are you relying on when you're talking about payments? You're relying on karka, right? So when we say that, even though this is what the Rashbam's, the Rabbeinu Tam's gear says, not like our Gemara, but it says, even if he has no possessions, what does it mean no possessions? He doesn't have karka. Nevertheless, you still have to go over the Loveh first. You still have to go exhaust the avenue of metaltolin. You have to exhaust the avenue if he's far away, if he's not around, he's left town, you have to wait for him to come back, you have to try to get him from the other place. That the demands, according to Rabbeinu Tam, on the Malveh are significant. The Malveh has to go after the Loveh extensively before he can come to the Arev. And he has to wait, meaning that if it takes time, he's going to have to wait out that time. Whereas if you read the Gemara simply over here, may not be the case. Maybe simply that he just has to try, at least the way the Rashbam is, he has to try. If he's not successful, then he goes after the Arev right away. He doesn't have to go to extraordinary means to get it out of the Loveh. So Rabbeinu Tam seems to suggest that there's a higher obligation on the Malveh to go after the Loveh. So now, V'im Amar, in our mission says, Almanat, Shefra Mimi Sheyartzeh. I want to go and collect from whomever I want. Yidva Arev Tchila. Right, then the Arev, he goes after Arev Tchila. Amar Rav Huna, minayin l'Arev d'mishtabed. How do you know that an Arev is really obligated? I mean, the Arev here didn't do anything. What creates the shibud on the Arev? How do we put him on the hook here? Dechtib, he says, I'll prove it to you from what it says by Yehuda. It says, Anochi Arvenu, Miyadi Tivakshenu. Because Yehuda guarantees to Yaakov that he will take care of Binyamin. He says, Anochi Arvenu. So simply by speaking, he was mishabed himself. He put himself on the hook by simply speaking. They didn't make a kinyan on Binyamin there. He simply said, Anochi Arvenu. When he said, Anochi Arvenu, then he became responsible for Binyamin. I'm going to read what's in our Gemara. It doesn't make sense what's in our Gemara. It says, that wasn't really a revut. That was kablanut, which will be tomorrow's daf. We'll extensively explain what's the difference between a revut and kablanut. Because there it says, give him into my possession and I will return him to you. The problem with this is that's the line. That pasuk is said by Reuven. It's not Yehuda. What does this have to do with Yehuda? That's said by Reuven. It has nothing to do with Yehuda. So why are you bringing a question on Yehuda's position, who says, Anochi Arvenu, with his words, and you're bringing from Reuven that he said, Tnu Nabi Adi, that he actually handed him over. There was some sort of transaction over here. So if you look in the Mesoras Hashas Gimel brings a different nuscha here. Mesoras Hashas in Gimel says that this is the way the Gemara should read. It says that in the Sh'iltot, in Parshat Miketz, he says, this is the Lashon. Amalei Rav Chista, Hatam Yehuda Gufei, Lovehu, Dichtiv, Shocha Anar Iti. That over there, he was not the Arev. He was the Loveh. Because he's not, when he says Anochi Arvenu, he's the guarantor, but that's not what he means, I'm the guarantor. He's guaranteeing he's going to pay back, but he himself is the one who's borrowing him. Because he says, Shocha Anar Iti. Send Binyamin with me. Which means that he's the one now taking him. He's both the Malveh and the Arev in one. I mean, I'm sorry, the Loveh and the Arev in one. He's both the borrower, you know, he's taking Binyamin, and he's also the Arev. He's guaranteeing that he'll be returning it. So it's not similar to our case. So based on that, that would be the question. All right, so then the Gemara will continue, and we don't bring this whole piece with Reuven. It says, Amar Rav Yitzchak, and then the Girsa, again, in the Sh'iltot, the Girsa reads Amar Rav Chista here, because we skipped Rav Chista before. But El Amar Rav Yitzchak Mehocha. This is where we know from it. It says, Lekach Bigdo Kyarev Zar, Uba'ad Nochriya Chavaleu. Right, so you go and take his, right, Lekach, go, take his beged, because he guaranteed a third party. Or ba'ad nachriyah, for someone who's foreign to him, chavleyo, you take security. And that if the arev was an arev, then you as the malveh, the creditor, are entitled to come and take what you were entitled to. Vomer, it says, vim, imeravta l'reyacha, takat l'zar l'kapecha. Right, if you guaranteed to your friend that you would pay him, whether you're a loveh or you're a arev, Nukashta b'imrei ficha, you got caught, you got ensnared in the words of your mouth. Nukata b'imrei ficha, right, you were trapped by your words. Asezot, efo, do this, beneve, and atzel, and save yourself. Kibata b'kafre acha, because now you're captured by your friend, you're now in trouble with your friend. Leich, itrapes, right, go ahead and return whatever you owe. Urahav reacha, and supplicate or please your friend. So what does that mean? Imamon, we learned this before, we've had this dress before. Imamon yeshlo biyadecha. If you owe him money, either because you're the Arev or because you're the Loveh, if you owe him money, hater lo pisat yad, open your hand and pay him. That's how you solve the problem. Bimlav, harbeh alav reim. If not, if the problem is that you offended him, you said something, you did something that offended him, then harbeh alav reim, bring lots of friends and ask mechila. You gotta ask mechila from him. So you see from both of these psukim, right, in Mishlei, that the Arev is on the hook, even though it's just through his words, just by the mere speaking, he obligates himself to become the Arev. Alright, Amar Meimar, Arev d'mishtabed machloket Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yosi. The fact that whether an Arev is mishubad, whether an Arev is really obligated, is actually a machloket Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yosi. Why? Rabbi Yosi d'amar, of course Rabbi Yosi says asmachto kanyo, that says an asmachto works, then Arev mishtabed. Why? Because what does the Arev do? The Arev says, I'm guaranteeing the loan. When the Arev is guaranteeing the loan, does he really think he's going to have to pay? No. He thinks the Loveh is going to pay, and he's not going to be on the hook for it. So that's an asmachta. It's exactly what an asmachta is. He never thinks he's going to have to pay. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, Asmachta kanya, therefore he's mishubed himself. Yehuda Amar Asmachta lo kanya, Arev lo mishtabed. According to Yehuda, who says that Asmachta is lo kanya, this is classic Asmachta, so he's not koneh, and therefore the Arev is not mishtabed. So I'm going to lay Rav Asher, I'm Eimer, Hamasim b'chol yom. We have everyday cases by us. Number one, asmachta lo kanya. We pass in asmachta lo kanya. And varei mishtabed. And we still say the arev is on the hook. So here you astira in your logic that we pass in like Rabbi Yehuda. And nevertheless, the arev is still mishtabed. So that's it, the arev. The arev is getting some consideration over here. The arev is getting consideration. What's the consideration of the arev? That the lover, the malver, treating him in a position of trust. He becomes the guarantor. People look to him as a neman. People are going to treat him in a different manner. That consideration, that value, is what he's mishabed his nefesh with. That's what he causes him to be mishabed himself to the malveh and have to pay for it, or pay up for it. Right now, the Rashbam over here, if you look at the Rishbam towards the bottom, it's the second to last line in the Rishbam. He said, "Gamar Meshabed Nafshei." The Rishbam explains it this way: "Belev Shalem, with a full heart, is Meshabed himself." Oshli Chuta Da Arev Kaavid Malve Kilu Hu Atzmo Lo Halove. It's the Malve now is doing the bidding of the Arev. It's as if the Arev came along. Look, the Malve says, "I'm not going to lend without the Arev." So the Malve would never hand this money over to the Love without this Arev. So what is the Arev basically saying? The Arev is saying to the Malve, basically, listen, lend me the money, but just give it to this individual over here. He's basically doing him the Shlichut. The Malve is saying, basically, Arev says, do me a favor, give this money to the Love. So even it's as if the Arev himself is borrowing from the Malveh and then saying, just hand that money to the Loveh. So that's the way the Rashbam qualifies or states it. I think you could have just stated it the other way around, which is that the Arev is doing the Shlichus of the Loveh. On the other hand, he's borrowing. The Loveh is borrowing on behalf of the Arev. The Arev is the one who's really borrowing over here. And the Loveh is doing the Shlichut of the Arev and saying, listen, can you go pick up that money from the Malveh? That he's really the agent over here. The Loveh is the agent to pick it up from the Malveh on behalf of the Arev. The Rashbam formulates it another way, but basically that, again, that the Arev is involved in the process here. He becomes a party to the transaction based on this. So now the Gemara continues in our Mishnah. Imam Allah, Menache from him, Mishir Tzeh, then he can choose whomever he wants. Amr Abba Bechan, Amr Abba Yochanan, Loshanu, Ein She'en, Nechasim, Lolove. It's only true when there are no Nechasim, Lolove. So that, what do you mean? There's no Nechasim to Lolove. Ava Yesh Nechasim, Lolove. If he has possessions, Lo Yifra Min Arev, then he can't go and collect from the Arev. Midigtoni Seifa, what the Seifa says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mary Yesh Nechasim Lelove, Lo Yifra Min Arev. If the Lelove has Nechasim, then you don't go to the Arev. Mechlal. From that you can infer that Tana Kabbalah Sover, Lo Shnach, Hachi, Velo Shnach, it doesn't matter. Right, so it says, Chasuri Mechsera Vechachi Gtoni. It's missing words, and this is what it means. Amavet Chareh Uvo Ayede Arev, Lo Yifra Min Arev. That a person who borrows from an array, a malveh with a guarantor, he shouldn't go after the guarantor. If he goes, I want to take from whoever I want, if I'm an array, then he can go after the array. But when is that true? That's as long as the loveh has no possessions. The loveh has possessions, then he should not take from the Arev. That's what we discussed in the Rabbeinu Tam before. What it means in Rabbeinu Tam, we'll come back to the Rabbeinu Tam again. The Kablan, when it comes to a Kablan, then afu pishi yesh nechasim loveh yifrem in a Kablan. Comes to a Kablan, then even if the loveh has possessions, he can go after the Kablan. If the loveh still has possessions, even when it's a case of Kablan, then you shouldn't go after the Arev first, you should go after the Loveh first. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's statement is made about a Kablan and not about a Arev. What's the difference between an Arev and a Kablan? Again, it'll be the subject of tomorrow's daf, but basically a Kablan gets involved physically in the transaction. He's notei miyad liyad. The Arev actually takes the money, he takes the money and then he hands it to the Loveh. He goes to the Malveh, takes the money and then he gives it to the Loveh. So he's physically involved, he's involved in the Kinyanim, he's involved in the transaction itself. So he becomes a Kablan rather than a Arev, because an Arev is mishaveh through amira. Through simple statement or stating of the fact that he is Arev, there's an intangible consideration that makes him the Arev. But over here, when you're Kablan, you're involved in the Kinyanim. You're Meshabed yourself because of the Kinyan, not just because of the words. In that case, the Tanakh says you can go after the Arev. The Arev is an equal party here. He made a Kinyan, he's an equal party here. Whereas Rishon Moriel says, no, nevertheless, even if still, in those cases, the Loveh has money, we still go after the Loveh first. So Amar Rabbi Barchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Makom Shishenu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel B'Mishnatenu Halacha Kamoto. Anytime Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is found in the Mishnah, the Halacha is like him. The Rishbam makes this qualification over here. He did this other places, which is that that only means in a Mishnah, not in a Braisa. Only when Rabbi Shimon is found in the Mishnah is the Halacha like him. Chutz. There are three cases: Arev, Sidon, Raya Chona. So we'll get them. Sidon we had already. Raya Chona we'll have in Sanhedrin, and Arev is our case right here. Our Mishnah of Arev, the Halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah. Just the Tosfos over here, if you want to go through it, the Tosfos here has the Rabbeinu Tam, as we explained before. What does it mean that the Lovet does not have Nechasim? He says that even though the Lovet has no Nechasim, which means no Karkaot, right? If he has no Karkaot, Yidva min Lovet. He still has to go after the Lovet first to see if he has, right, property in a faraway place. He has monies, he's not here, you have to wait for him. But if you made the condition, Al Manat Shef Ralecha, that if I can pick up from either one of you, then he doesn't have to go to that extent. If the Lovet has Nechasim, he has Karka, he goes after Lovet right away, that's it. If he does not have Karka, and it's very hard to get it out, either because of the metal tzalim are not easy to get to, or the Lovet is not present, then he doesn't have to wait around for the Lovet, he goes straight to the Arev in that case. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. And then there are the Rabbeinu Dam in the middle, it's right across from Rabbeinu Gershom, that line above the Rabbeinu Gershom, that little funky line that's there. And right across from there, it says, Chamesh Midot Ba'arevot, Ba'arevot, Ba'arevut. There's five types of Arevut that can be established. And that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says, a summary of what we've seen here. This is Rabbeinu Tam says, Echad Hamalveh Ayidei Arev. One is a case where he lends with a guarantor. Lo etnei mimishir tzefra. He didn't make any conditions about I can go after whom I want. Then, Toveh Loveh Tchila Be'ezdin. Let's go after the Loveh Be'ezdin. Bein sheyesh lo, bein she'en lo nechasim loveh. Whether he has possessions or not, he's got to go that route first. If he can't force a Levet to pay, over Letzai Dino, he doesn't listen to Beis Din, Nichnas to Beit Osho Arev, then he goes after the Arev. The second type is Beis, Im Hidna Mimishir Tzefra. Says, whoever I want to, I can collect from. Vein lo nechasim lelovet. In that case, there's no nechasim lelovet. Ainu karkot. Then the lelovet doesn't have easily accessible karkot. Then nifram in arev tchila. You can go after the arev. We demand him to go after the lelovet. The lelovet has property. If the lelovet has that property, they won't make that demand. Perish im yirtzeh ledunim arev tchila. He can do that. Im yirtzeh yidvar min alovet tchila. He gets his choice. To whoever he has to go after, that he gets his choice as long as there's no obvious easy property to take from the lelovet, which is the karka. K'damrinan. It's up to the malveh to make the decision who he goes after in that case. Gimel, this is the third type of case. Right, so if he has nechasim loveh, if he has property, and he still made the condition, there's no choice there. He has to go after the Lovet. Because the fact that he has karka means he goes after the Lovet, the Arev's out of the picture. Dalit, v'kablan, which is the case that we introduced at the end. And a kablan, dahainu, tein lo, v'anino tein lecha. Right, give it to him and I'll give it to you. I mean, basically, he's being involved. Bein sheyesh lo nechasim lo loveh. Bein ein lo nifram min Arev tchila. Then he can go after the Lovet, Arev, because the Arev is an equal party here to, as the Lovet, and he can go after the Arev he wants. Hey, which is the fifth case, is nosev notein biyad. He actually physically gets involved in the case. So the Rabbeinu Dam describes Kablan, which I said we'll get to tomorrow, is that Kablan is being where he says to him, give the money and I'll pay you. So there he's guaranteeing the payment by saying specifically, give me the money, I'll pay you. The case of nosev notein biyad means that if he gets physically involved, then yifra min arev lo min aloveh. Then he goes after the arev and not the loveh, because loveh is not a party to the malveh anymore. Then basically the Arev takes money from the Malveh and he hands it to the Loveh. In that case, the loan is to the Arev, and then the Arev is making a subsequent loan to the Loveh. Shein la Malveh la Loveh klom. The Malveh and Loveh have no relationship over here. Only through a transitive property do they have any relationship. If he can't get the money from the Arev, then he goes after the Loveh, made to Rabbi Natan. And the principle of Rabbi Natan, which is that, right, a transitive property, if A lends to B and B lends to C, then A is really a creditor to C, and he can go after C in the end. Because we pass on like him in any Bachov. Alright, so now, Bakulu, Aravin, Bayi Kinyan, Barmi Kablan, Varei Bishad Matan Maot. If you want to be a guarantor, you need to be have a Kinyan, but except for a Kablan where you're specifically saying you're relying on his words to give the money, there you don't need to, and Arei Bishad Matan Maot, which is our Gemara right here. If you're a guarantor at the time that the loan is being handed out, the consideration is the Nemanut. But Kablan, Hainu Tein Lo, Vani Tein Lecha. Inami, Sheino Maskir Lashon Alva'a. He doesn't make a. Doesn't make any mention of a loan, but rather lashon piron of paying back. All right, I think we'll stop over here. Just that's a summary of the sugya, and we'll get to some of it tomorrow. But summary of the sugya according to the Rabbeinu Tam.